Welcome. And thank you for joining us here at the Christ the King podcast on this Sunday morning, the 10th of May. We're trying a few things new there. I am Pastor Michael McGinley of Christ the King Lutheran Church here in Spencer, Iowa, a congregation of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And we want to give a special welcome, especially to all of our visitors with us this morning, whether you are near or far. This morning, we celebrate the fifth Sunday of Easter, which can almost be called Upper Room Sunday or Preparation for Jesus to Ascend Sunday, because each year on the fifth Sunday of Easter, the church goes from focusing on Jesus' resurrection appearances and him being the good shepherd, which we focused on the past few weeks, to when Jesus spoke to his disciples in the upper room in John's gospel, which are chapters 14 to 16 that these Sundays focus on. And what we'll find here is Jesus preparing his disciples not only for his crucifixion and his resurrection, but also for his ascension, when he will no longer be with his disciples, with his church, as he had been in his earthly ministry. So today in our gospel, we'll hear John from chapter 14 in the upper room where Jesus proclaims himself to be the way, the truth, and the life, as he also prophesies his coming eternal rule in the flesh after his ascension. Our other readings are from the books of Acts, where we'll hear about the first martyr, St. Stephen, and our continuous reading in the book of 1 Peter will be our epistle. All the hymns this morning are performed by our own Tom Rutt, Lois Morris, and Wendy Reese. We begin our matin service this morning with hymn number 565 from the Lutheran Service Book, Thy Works Not Mine, O Christ. Continue with a matin service. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
The Lord is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. Sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is a God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
The Lord is risen indeed.
Alleluia.
We continue with hymn number 454 from the Lutheran Service Book, Sing My Tongue the Glorious Battle.
Sing my tongue the glorious battle, sing the ending of the fray. Now above the cross the trophy, sound the loud triumphant lay. Tell how Christ the world's Redeemer as a victim won the day. Tell how when at length the fullness of the appointed time was come, he the Word was born of woman, left for us his Father's home, blazed the path of true obedience, shone as light amidst the gloom. Thus with 30 years accomplished, he went forth from Nazareth, destined and agated, willing, did his work and met his death. True sign of triumph before all the noblest tree, none in foliage, none in blossom, none in fruit thine equal be, symbol of the world's redemption, for the weight that hung on thee. Unto God be praise and glory, to the Father and the Son, to the Eternal Spirit honor, now and evermore be done. Praise and glory in the highest, while the timeless
we pray the psalm responsively. Praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of the saints. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up, and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye his saints, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints. The first reading for this fifth Sunday of Easter is written in the 6th and 7th chapters of Acts, beginning at the first verse of chapter 6. Now, in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, a complaint arose from the Hellenists against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily service. The 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not appropriate for us to forsake the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, select from among you, brothers, 7 men of good report, full of the Holy Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will continue steadfastly in prayer and in the ministry of the word." Those words pleased the whole multitude. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicolaus, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. When they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. The word of God increased, and the number of the disciples greatly multiplied in Jerusalem. A great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Stephen, full of faith and power, performed great wonders and signs among the people. But some of those who were of the synagogue, called the Libertines, and of the Cyrenians, and of the Alexandrians, and of those of Cilicia and Asia, arose, disputing with Stephen. Stephen said, "Brothers and fathers, listen. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets didn't your fathers persecute? They killed those who foretold the coming of the Righteous One, of whom you have now become betrayers and murderers. You received the law as it was ordained by angels and didn't keep it." Now, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears, then rushed at him with one accord. They threw him out of the city and stoned him. The witnesses placed their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. They stoned Stephen as he called out, saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." He kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, don't hold this sin against them." When he had said this, he fell asleep. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Thanks be to God. We pray the gradual responsively. Christ is risen from the dead. God the Father crownest him with glory and honor. He dis set him over the works of his hands. He has put all things under his feet. The epistle is written in the second chapter of 1 Peter, beginning at the second verse. Peter writes, "As newborn babies long for the pure milk of the word, that with it you may grow, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Coming to him, a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God, precious. You also, as living stones, are built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Because it is contained in Scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, chosen and precious. He who believes in him will not be disappointed. For you who believe, therefore, is the honor. But for those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stumbling stone, and a rock of offense. For they stumble at the word, being disobedient, to which also they were appointed. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellence of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. In the past, you were not a people, but now are God's people, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Thanks be to God." Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia, Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Alleluia. The Holy Gospel is according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Glory be to thee, O Lord. Jesus said, "Don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it weren't so, I would have told you. I am going to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be there also. You know where I go, and you know the way." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you such a long time, and do you not know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How do you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I tell you, I speak not from myself, but the Father, who lives in me, does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Amen, amen, I tell you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and he will do greater works than these, because I am going to my Father. Whatever you will ask in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you will ask anything in my name, I will do it." This is the Gospel of our Lord. Praise be to thee, O Christ. We pray the responsory. Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. In that he liveth unto God. Alleluia, alleluia. Christ was delivered for our offenses, and raised again for our justification. In that he liveth unto God. Alleluia. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. In that he liveth unto God. Alleluia. We continue with hymn number 526 from the Lutheran Service Book. You are the way, through you alone. We begin our sermon in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The heart is fickle. It doesn't take much for a heart to feel troubled. Our heart can be riding high one moment, then come crashing down the next, maybe by a discouraging word from a spouse, a girlfriend or boyfriend breaking up with us, an unexpected layoff, even something like a political view we heard on the news or a political event. It doesn't even really take that much either, because how many of your hearts were broken last year when the Twinkies were eliminated, or when the Vikings got stomped in the playoffs, or when Iowa State lost to Iowa in every sport? Okay, just kidding, kind of. Sorry, Mark. Anyways, either way, for most of these discouragements in life, life goes on. We can make up with our spouse. We can find another job. We can always wait for the next news cycle or the next game. And some things, like sports, we're usually over in a matter of minutes or hours or after a night. Others, like a breakup, we eventually move beyond in the days, weeks, or months ahead. Again, the heart is fickle. It can bounce back just as much or just as quickly as it can crash. And this is true for most things, but not necessarily for our current situation, our current world, is it? Now, I don't mean to talk and preach about this pandemic every week, but that's what we're facing. It's pervasive. It affects us all. Some are scared. Some think it's overblown, but however way you think of it, none can get out of the virus's shadow or its darkness. Our heart has been troubled because of the way it's affected us since this hit 2 months ago. And our heart continues to be troubled now because it just lingers, especially when it comes to church. Because church is where we have come to know that that's where Jesus is. That's where Jesus and heaven come to us. But church hasn't been the same now for 2 months. And sure, we're fortunate enough to be able to hold these podcasts. I should say we're blessed enough to be able to hold these podcasts, these small communion gatherings at church. And for those gatherings, some in their conscience have decided to attend. Some in their conscience have decided against attending for their health and others' health. Neither answer is wrong. But whatever way you slice it, however way you've chosen, what we're facing now, it's not the same as it was, as when all the saints of our congregation were able to gather together. So when we can't make it to church in our normal gathering, which we're used to, it's easy for our fickle hearts to be troubled. And this time it's not easy for them to bounce back. Because if church is where Jesus is, And we can't make it all together for church. All of us can't gather together for church. Then how can we be with Jesus? How can he be with us? And so if our hearts are troubled in this pandemic, by the way it's affected our day-to-day lives, and how it's keeping us from church where our Lord is with us, where he's promised to be with us. Well, during this time, then we have to ask, what cures a troubled heart? Now, the disciples were in a similar situation. Our text this morning takes place in the upper room after the supper, where Jesus is imparting his last words to the 12 before heading to the Garden of Gethsemane. And the 12, well, here in this passage, which can seem like an odd Easter passage, the 12 here have reason for their troubled heart, because right before our reading today in the Gospel of John, Jesus just told his disciples that one of them, the closest of to him, one of the 12, would betray him. He just told them he was leaving them and they couldn't follow. He just told them that Peter, the most prominent and seemingly faithful of the group, who wanted to give up his life for Christ rather than see him crucified, that he would deny his Lord three times. So everything in Christ's word so far in this upper room discourse sent their hearts crashing down. Now, on this side of the cross, we know that Jesus' words in this part of John's gospel were meant to prepare his disciples for the coming crucifixion and resurrection. Yet Christ's words here were also meant to prepare the disciples beyond that as well. They weren't meant to just prepare for the crucifixion and resurrection. They were also meant to prepare his disciples and us for his ascension as well. Because after this night, after Maundy Thursday night, Jesus would never again walk with his disciples as he had during his earthly ministry. Sure, after his resurrection, Jesus did appear to his disciples multiple times, and he would walk with them from time to time, as he did with the Emmaus disciples. But still, the way he was with his disciples before his crucifixion, or the way he was with his disciples after his resurrection, was much different than how he was with them before his crucifixion. And we can tell this because the words he said to Mary Magdalene outside the tomb, which we just heard a few weeks ago on Easter morning, still rung in their ears. You might remember it. When she saw him and recognized Jesus, she wanted to hold him, and he said, "Do not cling to me." But now, if the disciples and Mary can't cling to him after the resurrection, how were they to survive or cling to him after his ascension into heaven? How are we to cling to him right now without our normal gathering? Well, so far in this text, we haven't seen the cure for a troubled heart. But we have seen lots to cause us and the disciples anxiety. But Jesus, after all this troubling news, begins to prepare the disciples, saying in the first few verses, "Don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it weren't so, I would have told you. I am going to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be there also. You know where I go, and you know the way." Now, to be told not to let our hearts be troubled may at first strike us as ridiculous. Look at the disciples. One of his own would betray him. One of his own would deny him. He was leaving. And for us, in the midst of a pandemic, he doesn't always feel close. Yet Christ tells us to believe in God and in him, to have faith in the Father, in the Son, in the Trinity. And why? Because Jesus was sent by the Father. And Jesus now goes to prepare a place for you. That's a plural you, as Jesus is speaking to the entire disciples, the entire church, not just a single saint. He goes to prepare a place for all of us in the church, a dwelling, a mansion among the Father's house. In fact, he's preparing many dwellings, many mansions, showing that there aren't merely 144,000 spots in heaven, as some of our heretics like to say, but there's room for the entire church throughout all space and time. So he goes to prepare a mansion for us his church, as he goes to his crucifixion. Because his crucifixion was not just some grand example of love for us to follow. If that's all it was, an example, then there would be nothing for our belief, there would be nothing for our faith to cling to, in order that our heart wouldn't be troubled. Because faith doesn't receive comfort by clinging to itself, nor does it receive comfort by clinging to its own works. It receives comfort only when it can cling to the Son of God. And so Jesus tells us to cling our faith to him, preparing a place for us, to cling to him as he is nailed to the cross, raised up like the bronze serpent for all of us to see, and crucified for our sins as he drinks all of the wrath for our guilt. The idea of the crucifixion and the cross, the idea of that for the disciples, was the source of their anxiety. Just as our suffering as the church, is the source of ours. Yet Jesus tells all his church to have faith in him as he prepares a place for us, as he breathes his last and has his side pierced, as he suffered, and as his church now suffers. Not only this, but Christ says that he will come back for us so we may be with him, and that we are to have comfort of heart knowing this, which he says, "You know where I go, and you know the way." But what way is Jesus talking about here? The cross, the many mansions, it's all good news. But how is it supposed to calm the troubled heart or cure it? Where are these mansions? How do we get to them? How does what Jesus did to prepare those mansions on the cross come to us? Or how do we go to it? When will Jesus come to get us when we don't know the way? There doesn't seem to be a cure here yet for the troubled heart. And Thomas asks what all our minds are wondering. "Lord," he says, "we don't know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him." Well, there it is. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. That is to say, the cross, Christ crucified, as it extends from heaven to earth with angels descending or ascending and descending upon it, is the only way to the Father. How are we to be taken to the mansions in the Father's house? By the cross. It's on the cross where Jesus' pierced side flowed with blood and water. It's that blood and water with which you were baptized as you came to the font. It is there that Jesus came for you and poured on you this blood and water as you entered his body, his church, through his side. It's the word where the truth that is Christ crucified, is preached to you. where Jesus comes to you, where you begin to see him in the gathering around the word. It is at the altar, as you eat the bread and drink the cup, where you partake of the life he died to earn for you and rose to give you. So by baptism, the water and blood of Christ's side, you enter Christ crucified, and through this way of the cross, come to the Father. By the word, you hear the truth and come to know Christ, and by knowing Christ, come to know the Father. By the gathering and the sacrament of the altar, you come to see Christ as he gives you life, where you also come to see the Father who gives you his Son. So for the troubled heart, Christ crucified gives you his baptism, his word, and his body and blood with all the saints, all of which come from the cross. It can all seem so clear to us in a certain way of looking at it, yet in the midst of the darkness of trouble and suffering, it can be hard for the eyes to see. And so Philip next says, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. It can be easy for us now, on this side of the resurrection, to think Philip foolish for still being troubled of heart, and for not seeing how Christ is with his church in his word and sacraments, as he is so clearly saying here. And so it can be easy to judge Philip. But ask yourself, my dear Christian, as we have been unable to gather around these word and sacraments, do you feel any less troubled of heart so far? Are you able to see any better than Philip does here where Christ is? Can you see where Christ is? Sure, we have the promises that Christ is in the gathering. But when you and the church are suffering, unable to meet in this pandemic, have you wondered if Christ is even there, let alone the Father whom Christ reveals to us? Or perhaps, do you feel your worship at home around the dining room table is pointless, that your isolated prayers are merely wasted breath with which no one hears? Or that your longing for the gathering of the saints at the sacrament is a lost cause as the timeline for this pandemic keeps getting extended? Sure, our heart can feel prideful against Philip here. But remember, the heart is fickle. And all you need to do is look at our own situation. And that can quickly send the heart crashing and send us to realize we're right there with Philip. Where is the Father? So Jesus replies to Philip and to us, have I been with you such a long time, and do you not know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How do you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I tell you, I speak not from myself, but the Father who lives in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Amen, amen, I tell you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and he will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you will ask in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you will ask anything in my name, I will do it. That's almost like Jesus is asking, have you been in the church for such a long time, dear Christian, that you do not know your baptism? Or into whom you have been baptized? The suffering is real around the world. The isolation, the constant staying at home while managing a family, missing church, Even just a person trying to weigh the risks of if he should sign up and come to communion is causing distress. But none of that nullifies your baptism. None of that takes you out of the body of Christ. Or it's almost as if Jesus is saying, have you been in the church for such a long time, dear Christian, that you do not know who speaks and preaches the word to you? Even though we may not be able to gather around the altar, we are still, all of us in the church, gathering around our family tables to hear our Lord speak to us in the same scriptures and preach to us the same sermon, so that through it, even as we're separated, we may all see Christ together. So all of us, the church, may have faith in Christ crucified as we are baptized into him who is in the Father and in whom the Father is in also, whose very works in his ministry reveal himself to be the Son and God to be the Father. So that this is what Christ promises, saying, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. He will do greater works than these because I am going to the Father. That is to say, by ascending to the Father, Christ is not leaving his church, not even in a time of pandemic. But by sitting at the right hand of the Father in our flesh, with all authority over heaven and earth, he is with the church in a more glorious way than ever before. And how? By the greater works he does through those whom believe in him, his church. By the works he does through his church. And those works are works that we know well. Baptism, which brought us into his body. It continues to bring his sheep into his body. That work is his word, which preaches the truth, Christ crucified. That work is his body and blood given to us for life and to strengthen our faith. Which is why he can say, whatever you will ask in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you will ask anything in my name, I will do it. Keep in mind, the you here is again plural. He's speaking to the church who prays in his name. And so sorry for any individuals out there asking for a winning lotto ticket. That's not what Christ means. He means here the prayers of the church through him and with his will. And what do we, the church, ask for? That unbelievers may be brought into the church through baptism, that we may remain in the pure doctrines of his word, that we may continue to receive forgiveness and strength of our faith in his sacrament, that his Holy Spirit never depart from us even as we enter into the world and are not, at this time, able to gather together. Really, what we ask is all given to us to ask for in the Lord's Prayer, a prayer which every Christian knows, a prayer which, at any point in any day, some Christian is praying, a prayer which the church is always praying without ceasing around the globe, together or separated. And here is what Christ promises for these prayers that we ask in his name. I will do it. Not I will hand it off to the Father, but I myself, with all the authority which is given to me in heaven and on earth, will do it for my bride. He himself in the flesh will answer our prayers and do it. And by doing what we pray for, he glorifies the Father whom he reveals to us. So that until he comes again, he promises baptism, the truth of the word, and the sacrament, even if for a moment right now, we have to wait for the Lord's body and blood. Now, do you think Christ will promise to give us all we ask in the Lord's Prayer, but not bring an end to this pandemic, but not return us to the sacrament? Whether by time or medicine, or Him calling us home from this life or returning on the last day, this pandemic for us will end. And we will one day feast again with the saints, whether that is in the foretaste of the feast to come at the altar or at the heavenly banquet. He who is faithful has promised it. He will do it. So that here, Christ gives us the ultimate cure for a troubled heart. The promise that whatever we, the church, pray in His name, He, our head, will do Himself for us. For what the head wills, the body wills also. So then, as we wait to gather, may we continually find rest in His Word, and may the Spirit guide us to pray without ceasing in our baptism as we wait to gather again around the sacrament. As Christ cures our troubled hearts by hearing and acting for His church even right now. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We continue with the Te Deum.
We praise Thee, O God. We acknowledge Thee to be the Lord. All the earth doth worship Thee, the Father everlasting. Seraphim.
We continue with the prayer, beginning with the Kyrie. O Lord, have mercy upon us. O Christ, have mercy upon us. O Lord, have mercy upon us. We pray the Ten Commandments. You shall have no other gods. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. We confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We are bold to pray as our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Unto thee have I cried, O Lord, and in the morning shall my prayer prevent thee. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise, and with thy honor all the day. O Lord, hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me, O God, a clean heart, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Vouchsafe, O Lord, this day, to keep us without sin. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us. O Lord, let thy mercy be upon us, as our trust is in thee. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. The Lord be with you, and with thy spirit. Let us pray. O God, who makes the minds of the faithful to be of one will, grant unto your people that they may love what you have commanded, and desire what you have promised, that among the manifold changes of this world, our hearts may be fixed where true joys are found. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Almighty God, grant to your church your Holy Spirit and the wisdom that comes down from above, that your word may not be bound, but have free course and be preached to the joy and edification of Christ's holy people, so that in steadfast faith we may serve you and, in the confession of your name, abide unto the end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. O merciful Father in heaven, from you comes all rule and authority over the nations of the world, for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of those who do well. Graciously regard your servants, including Donald, our President, the Congress of these United States, Kim, our Governor, the legislature of this state, and all our judges and magistrates, and look in mercy upon all the rulers of the earth. Grant that all who receive the sword as your servants may bear it according to your command. Enlighten and defend them, and grant them wisdom and understanding, that under their peaceable governance your people may be guarded and directed in righteousness, quietness, and unity. Protect and prolong their lives, that we with them may show forth the praise of your name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty everlasting God, through your only Son, our blessed Lord, you commanded us to love our enemies, to do good to those who hate us, and to pray for those who persecute us. Therefore, we earnestly implore you that by your gracious working, our enemies may be led to true repentance, may have the same love toward us as we have toward them, and may be of one accord and of one mind and heart with us and with your whole church. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O Lord, you are the great physician of soul and body. You chasten and heal. Be with all those who are in trouble, want, sickness, anguish of labor, peril of death, or any other adversity, especially those who are in suffering for your name's sake. Comfort, O God, with your Holy Spirit, that they may receive and acknowledge their afflictions as the manifestation of your fatherly will. Especially this morning do we pray for all those that we mention in our hearts and at our tables. Amen. Almighty and everlasting God, although we have deserved your righteous wrath and manifold punishments, yet we entreat you, O most merciful Father, remember not the sins of our youth nor our many transgressions, but out of your unspeakable goodness, grace, and mercy, defend us from all harm and danger of body and soul. Preserve us from all false and pernicious doctrine, from war and bloodshed, from plague and pestilence, from all calamity by fire and water, from hail and tempest, from failure of harvest and from famine, from anguish of heart and despair of your mercy, and from an evil death. And in every time of trouble, show yourself a very present help, the Savior of all men, and especially of them that believe. Amen. Dear Lord, cause all needed fruits of the earth to prosper, that we may enjoy them in due season. Give success to the Christian training of the young, to all lawful occupations on land, sea, and air, and to all pure arts and useful knowledge, and crown them with your blessing. Amen. This is the day which the Lord hath made. Alleluia. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Alleluia. O Lord, our heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, who hast safely brought us to the beginning of this day, defend us in the same with thy mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by thy governance, might be righteous in thy sight. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Let us pray together. We give thanks unto thee, Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, thy dear Son, that thou hast protected us through the night from all danger and harm. And we beseech thee to preserve and keep us this day also from all sin and evil, that in all our thoughts, words, and deeds we may serve and please thee. Into thy hands we commend our bodies and souls and all that is ours. Let thy holy angel have charge concerning us, that the wicked one have no power over us. Amen. The Lord be with you, and with thy spirit. Bless we the Lord. Thanks be to God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. We close out our service this morning with hymn number 433 from the Lutheran hymnal, Jesus, My Truth, My Way.
Jesus, my truth, my way, my sure unerring life.
Wraps up our service for this week. Again, we want to thank all of you for joining us this morning. We'll be back with you next week to celebrate the sixth Sunday of Easter from John chapter 14, verses 15 to 21, where, along with looking towards the Ascension, the Church also begins to focus on the upcoming Pentecost and Christ's promise of His giving of the Holy Spirit. Until next time, go forth and serve the Lord. I am Pastor Michael McGinley, signing off.